thank you for tuning in and being an integral part of the show today. I'm Barb Sayers, CEO and Marketing Director of Sister to Sister Enterprises, a marketing and strategic consulting firm. My hope is that you will gain enough from the show to come back again and again, and that you'll tell your friends and the people you do business with about the show as well. My purpose for the show is to provide value in the form of educational pieces each time we air as to what makes a solid foundation for a business, what forms of marketing are out there, how do they work, and how do you know which one is the best fit for your business, and much, much more. Today, I'll be talking about some more marketing methods and how you can choose the ones that are the best for you. And that will be after our second guest today. So stay tuned to the end of this valuable educational information that can literally transform your business. The other aspect of the show is that we'll have in-depth interviews with business owners and successful established entrepreneurs. We'll pick their brains, too, for the best practices and methods to grow your business and expand your reach. What works and what doesn't, and how to capitalize on what does work. So let's dive right in with our first guest, Cheryl Sherman. Her favorite saying is, find your bliss. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's a wonderful day.
Yes, it is. We're so excited to have you with us. Cheryl is an entrepreneur and author. She is writing a series of books, and we will get into those in just a little bit. Cheryl enjoys nature, the ocean, family and friends, and she's concerned about our planet, especially our oceans and the fresh waterways, and just concerned about all the pollution and dumping of chemicals and so forth, and what we're doing, poisoning our Mother Earth. So, Cheryl, before we dig into the meat of the interview, I always like to ask, who is Cheryl Sherman? What makes her tick?
That is a huge question. I wish I knew, but I am finding my bliss in the things that I create. And I think as I go through the process of creation, I find out who I am, which leads me to more avenues of creation, which causes me to find out who I am even more.
I understand that. I think that's certainly true for all of us. So tell us a little bit about, who you are in the way of how you got into doing these books and, what they mean to you as it relates to Mother Earth.
Well, I have always cared about our planet. And, we learned about pollution years ago and how we affected the Earth through the dumping of chemicals and waste on our planet. It was a hot topic a long time ago, and I think it needs to remain a hot topic amongst our world leaders, especially in poorer countries where they don't have the finances to be more careful with their business practices when they are getting rid of certain kinds of wastes on the planet. And it would be a good thing if there was like a world summit where the different countries that have more of the financial ways to do things so that our planet is better taken care of could help these other countries that don't have that means. Instead of warring with one another, why don't we take care of our planet together and make it a better home for all of us? Now, as for writing the book, I had a dream about Triton, the god Triton, and it kept bothering me, so I sat down and I did a watercolor. And it was so fun to do the watercolor, and the story started bubbling inside of me. And when I sat down and started writing the book, that was 2010, and I think I've thrown away at least three-quarters of it, the first rough draft. But it just kept pouring out of me, and I couldn't stop writing. And my husband would ask me when I'd be up cleaning house and doing things, and he'd say, "You are really antsy. You have been antsy for the last 3 days." And he said, "I think it's because you're not writing. Sit down and write." So I would. And while I was writing book one, Ocean Depths, A Darkness, I started writing Ocean Depths, A Time, which is book two, and that is at the publishers right now and will be published by January 2017. And I am working on Ocean Depths of Life, book three, and I plan to have 5 to 7 books in the series. As long as Triton, the hero, and Callista, the heroine, keep giving me their story, I'm going to keep writing.
That's so interesting that it came to you in a dream.
Yeah, I find
that fascinating.
Creative things do that. They kind of bubble up through your life, and if you don't take notice, they jump out at you in different ways. Some people, I've got a friend that she often gets visions, and I've never had a vision. I mean, sometimes I hear things, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, now, do you need some medication for this? But she actually has visions in her mind of things that help people, and when she mentions them, they are very helpful. And it's astounding how right on she is. It reminds me of people that are mediums. You know, that just blows me away. You know, having the dead tell you what they're up to and the people they love and how concerned they are for people that are still living on the planet. That amazes me. I wish I had that talent, but I don't. But my talent is hearing this story and having it kind of put inside of me. It's like it's getting poured inside of me. And if I don't sit down and write it, I become very neurotic.
It's like it has to get out.
It has to, yes. So that's, you know, I can't say there's a formula for writing, because for me, it's just sitting down and doing it. And if the book veers off into a direction it doesn't belong, I know it, and I'll just push delete. You know, it's pretty darn easy. But other people, they like to do an outline, and they like to, you know, think about these characters and have it figured out in their head from beginning to end. And if that works for them, that's great. But not for me. For me, I just have to sit down and write. And that I do that. I'll start it 5:30 in the morning, and, you know, I'll take breaks to feed my horses, clean the house, take care of, you know, life, but I might not get done until 10 or 11 at night, and I usually write 7 days a week, and it's therapy for me. It's a wonderful outlet.
Yeah, I could imagine that. So, you work from home.
Yes.
And incorporate your writing into your daily routine. Tell us a little bit more about that, because my show is about helping business people with all aspects of their business. And this is one aspect. A lot of entrepreneurs are home-based businesses and have difficulty balancing things. So tell us how you do that.
I am a perfectionist. I like a clean house. I take very good care of my 4 horses and my 3 longhorn cattle, my African gray parrot, my collie, my 2 cats, and I have probably like 150 goldfish in my pond. And I take care of them. I love them. I make sure they have a good environment, good food. They're socialized. But when I'm done with that, and I love my husband, I spend time with him, I write. And so in all those other little times when other people might consider having free time, like watching TV, I rarely watch TV because my book is very entertaining for me to write. It satisfies that need in me. And it's also because I'm driven, I have to sit down and write. So I make that time. Now, I know if I have 6 kids. When I was raising those children, I would have very little time. I mean, I barely had time to brush my teeth, comb my hair, put on my dress and make sure it wasn't inside out. You know how it is being a parent.
I do.
But there's always that time. You can write 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day. Maybe you only write 2 days a week, Saturday and Sunday. You find that window. You make it a habit. You put yourself in a place where you always are writing, like, let's say you like to write the kitchen table, or maybe you have an office or maybe you have a little cabin, you know, that's a part of your house that's away from everybody, and you write there. Maybe you write in your bedroom. You find that spot, and that's where you write. You have your music on, or even if you want the TV on in the background, whatever makes you feel creative, that's what you do. And you make it a habit, because habits takes about 3 weeks for a habit to really lock in. Habits are easy to keep. You just have to start it. I talked to a young man yesterday at the post office, and I was sending out my book to some more book shows, and I was showing the three awards that it had won, the Beverly Hills Book Award, the Mom's Choice Award, and the Pinnacle Book Award, and his face lit up. And he was astounded, and he said, "I love to write. I love college classes, and I love to write. And I want to be a writer." But he said, "I have two little kids, a three-year-old and a baby." And he said, "They're so time-consuming, and I'm so tired when I get home from work." And I said, "Can you write two times a week? Can you write on the weekend?" He said, "And I feel so driven when I sit and write. I don't want to stop." I said, "Well, that's good. But if you only have a couple times to do it every week, use those couple of times, because after a couple of years, you'll have a book. You know, you just have to start it." So it's like the light bulb went on when I talked to him. And I think people need to think out of the box. You don't have to focus on yourself doing something like everybody else does it, but you have to fit it into your schedule and do it the way you can do it.
Yes, and I was looking at some of the things that you had shared with me, and part of your mission is to help other people.
Yes.
So that's terrific that your paths crossed with this young man, and you were able to share with him some ways that he can make his dream come true, his bliss, which is writing.
Well, just think how many books he could write between now being in his mid-20s up to 80 years of age. He could write a whole bunch of books if he would just start and fit it into his schedule.
That is very true. Now, are you on a farm, a ranch? You've got a large piece of property.
In Arizona, we have a 25-acre horse ranch, and it's a vast grassy plain out here. It's Sonoyta, where I live. It's the gem of the Sonoran Desert. So we have lots of grasslands. There's lots of cattle ranches around me. And we usually have about 5 to 8 longhorns. Right now, we have 3. And then we came here with 10 horses, and through the years, we've sold them or given a couple of really nice ones away, done things like that, and we're down to 4. And I love being with my animals. I used to train horses. I don't do that as much anymore because I've all trained them. They're all well-broken. They're my buddies, and, you know, we just kind of hang out together now. But I love being out. I also have my house in California. It has 2.5 acres and a sweet view that I enjoy when I'm up out there. And I go to the ocean often because that's one of my main loves is seeing our waterways and the sparkling blue of the water. And, you know, that's one of my big enjoyments on the planet. It's my bliss, the ocean.
We just have a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to ask you, what advice you have for women starting their own business?
Be passionate about what you're doing. Don't let other people tell you what your bliss is. Look deep within your heart and follow what you know to be that thing, that one thing that you want, and go after it with all the gusto you can give it. Love your family. Love your life, but go after that thing you want and don't doubt, because there's a lot of people around you that don't have the same vision as you, and they'll dump cold water on your vision, not even realizing that something they may say may make you want to just quit. Don't quit. Keep that vision in front of you and realize that other people, just because they don't have your vision, may say the wrong thing to you, a hurtful thing or a startling thing that might make you think, "Oh, I'll never succeed." Don't believe it. Go after what you want and do it, because that is what will cause it to come true. You have an idea, you have a thought, and you want to make that idea become a reality on the planet. And it's your view, it's your bliss, It's your dream, so you have to make it real. So just keep going, doing the steps, one foot at a time in front of each other. Keep going until it finally becomes a reality, and you're holding that dream in your hand, like I hold my book in my hand. Don't give
up. Excellent. And keep your goals in front of you, write them down, repeat them to yourself, put them up on your mirror all around the house so that you don't forget what it is you're shooting for.
Exactly. Right? And then make sure you do it. Don't just think about it. Do it. I have a lot of people telling me, oh, I want to write a book. I have this idea, that idea. And when they get done telling me, I go, you know, that's a wonderful idea. Have you sat down and written it down? No. And I'd say, why not? Sit down and write it. Because if you write it as a writer, then you get to edit it. And then all of a sudden, it's good enough to send to a publisher. And I would recommend that for everybody that has a dream or a goal. Not only are you thinking about it, putting stickers around your house, every day do something to make that goal real, to make it a real thing that you can hold in your hand.
Right. Okay, so I have one last question. Do you have any thoughts, your last thoughts that you want to impart to our listeners, especially those who are thinking of sitting down and writing a book or thinking of starting a business? What else can you share with us?
Creativity comes in all kinds of forms. And it doesn't matter if you, I've said this before, if you're a mechanic or if you want to open a grocery store, you want to have a restaurant, or you want to have own a radio station, or if you want to produce a movie. Creativity is something empowered by our spirits, what's inside of us. And we have to go after it and do it. You have the yearning, the desire. Now go and do it. And don't let anyone take your bliss away from you. It's not being, do it with good intention. Do it with kindness. And always be grateful for everyone that helps you along the way. And don't listen to those people that don't see your vision. Smile at them and keep going, because you can do it. And don't take yourself too seriously. Enjoy your life while you're in the process.
Great advice. Super duper having you with us today. I'm so happy that you were able to share with us your bliss. And I just want to ask, how can folks get in touch with you if they want to read your book? Or buy your book, books, plural, if they just want to chat with you and ask you some questions, how can they get in touch with you?
Okay, the book, Ocean Depths of Darkness, is on Amazon.com. It's on BarnesandNoble.com. It's on KoboBooks.com. And it's on PlayGoogle.com. My website is Erlynn Sherman, which is Sherman, .com, WordPress. And you can always find me on Facebook. It's C.L. Sherman, and I have a Facebook page there. And I would love to hear from people.
On the website, Sherlynn Sherman.
My website is actually Sherlynn Sherman.
Oh, Sherlynn, okay.
And the reason for that, there was another Cheryl Sherman. And pick what I did.
So you said .com, and then you said something after that?
We've got a slash and then WordPress or WP and then another slash.
Okay, great.
But if you go online, you'll find it. You just have to put in C.L. Sherman, Ocean Depths of Darkness, and this stuff crops up.
Fantastic. Thank you again for being with us. Sorry we have to say goodbye at this point.
Well, thank you very much, and I had a blast, and I hope success to all of the audience. And if you want to have a wonderful afternoon of reading, get my book. It'll take you far away from your life, and you'll smile while you're reading.
I second that. So now we're going to take a short break, but don't go away. You're going to love our next guest, Michael Friend, who's going to talk to us about battling your fears So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back, and thanks for being with us for another business interview. Today, we have Mr. Michael Friend. Mike's been in the oil and gas industry for almost 25 years. Recently, he got laid off and now has an exciting opportunity to grow a management development company called Pitten Learning. The company is an expert in getting behavior modification in managers for any size company by relevant and affordable training. And today, Mike would like to share his advice on overcoming and battling your fears. So Mike has suffered from anxiety attacks since the early 1990s, and he'd like to share his methods with the audience in addressing those fears and how to gain freedom in their lives. And Mike has been able to do this without the aid of medication, which I think is amazing and incredible. So good morning, Mike. We're happy
good
to
morning.
Have you with us today.
Thank you for having me on, and it's a pleasure for me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure for us. Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started. Who is Mike Friend? What makes him tick?
Mike Friend really at the core is a country boy. I grew up in the country of Ohio, and it's not really a country like the United States, but back in the backwoods, if you will. Of a small town called Talmadge, Ohio. And my brother and I, he's 3 years younger, we play in the woods an awful lot. So that's why I call myself a country boy. I was outside probably 90% of my life growing up out there. And we moved to Texas when I was 12, and I got to understand what real heat means, summer heat down in Texas. Continued to play baseball and sports outside and got adapted to the Texas weather and got established and never really saw too much snow anymore like I did in Ohio growing up.
Uh-huh.
And spent a lot of my young youth life there in Texas and all the way up until I got married and was to my beautiful wife in 1992. And had to finish up my 2 years left of college. And my wife said, "Hey, I really like Colorado and I sure do miss it. Let's pack up everything. Let's go up to Colorado." It's a longer story than that, but we moved up to Colorado in 94 and been in Colorado ever since, and I have two children. My daughter, Olivia, she's going to turn 22 in December, and my son is just turned 18 this summer.
Fantastic.
And my wife and I have been married 24 years this Woo-hoo! August 22nd.
That is amazing and commendable. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So I see here some highlights, age 14 to 19, bursting with confidence and help from a good mentor. Tell us about that.
And do you mind repeating that just one more time, that last part of the sentence?
Help from a good mentor?
Oh, helpful and a good mentor in my life from my good mentors.
Yeah, so you had written down age 14 to 19, you were bursting with confidence and had help from a good mentor. I was just wondering, if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Okay, I remember now. I just needed a little bit of prodding to go, Mike, remember that? Oh, that was a long time ago. back when I was around 12, you know, when we moved to Texas, like Ed mentioned, I was about 12 or 13, really shy, introverted, didn't know really, you know, everybody goes through that. You're in junior high, you're coming out of elementary, you're trying to discover yourself. And so I was confirmed, and confirmation is, I would say, similar maybe to the Catholic Church, it is the first communion. And so I was about 13, 14 years old, confirmation age, and took ownership of my spiritual adulthood. And then I got invited to the young people. My mentor, really, he was 10 years younger. He had just moved to Texas, and he was trying to get me out of my shell and invite me to the youth group activities and invite me to some of the ministers' activities just to get acquainted with everything. And I really didn't want to come out of my little shell. I was happy in my home. And so I finally gave in, and that was really, I really thank him for that, because that brought me out of my shell. I started being around other young people and went on bus trips, and really a little blossom came out of my heart that I was really outgoing and fun to be with, and people enjoyed being around me.
And you got to know Mike.
And I got to know Mike. He came out of the little cocoon he was in.
That's terrific. And then from age 20 to 40, you were struggling with that, but getting by.
Yeah, I did. I remember those years. So I really felt bad about myself around 19 or 20. So I did some things I wasn't proud of, and had my first real long term, if you will, girlfriend for about a year and a half. And and we broke up. I wasn't ready for marriage. I was only 20. I was trying to focus on college, and I didn't realize how hard that was on me. And I think that was a trigger in my life to really go, who am I? And I kind of felt bad about myself. And I was going to night school at college. And it was kind of a, I guess you can call it kind of a lonely life, because I was kind of fading out of the young people. I felt old. I was in my early 20s. And so I wasn't as plugged in. And so I went through some dark times. And so I started to listen to these fears in my head. Again, picture what I was around those teenage years, and just bursting with energy. When I came into a room, I lit up the room. It was,
wow.
Mike was in the room. And so I started listening to self-defeating thoughts, and that I didn't like myself. And just, I let some self-sabotaging thoughts come into my life, and I really believed them. And as I start kind of going back into my cocoon, if you will, and I start shunning away from crowds and people, and I really was spiraling into not being me, and so I got more and more depressed those years.
Yeah. And so from 40 on, you were taking steps to gain your confidence back. How did that go?
I did. I think the Band-Aid up to that age, they call it the Band-Aid, was when I was about 30, in my early 30s, I was a lay minister in the New Apostolic Church. So what came along with those responsibilities is holding service and being in front of a lot of people and greeting people. And so I really fought through those anxieties to show up and serve. Mm-hmm. And do my role. So I really pushed hard against those self-sabotaging thoughts. And so that was my Band-Aid. And then I stepped down from the ministry in about 2009. And I was in my 40s, about like you're saying, in that 40 range. And so I kind of slipped back into my cocoon for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then I joined Toastmasters in 2013. And so that was, about 3 years ago in my early 40s or so, mid-40s, and I decided, since I didn't have the ministry responsibilities anymore, I'd like to kind of get back on that stage of using my gift and pushing against those self-sabotaging fears, anxiety.
Right.
And that really helped, because the Toastmaster group, turns out, they're not scary people, was very welcoming, and they said this is a safe environment to make mistakes. We'll give you feedback. And that just that support system, and practicing presentations in front of the club of about 15 to 20 people, taking on a few leadership roles really helped start repairing my confidence more. Yeah. So I thank Toastmasters for their kindness.
You bet. And it sounds like it's kind of been a lifelong battle for you to stay out of that cocoon.
Yes.
So tell us about your journey in the beginning with your anxieties. And what we're wanting to do here, Mike, is give some valuable feedback to the listeners on how they can maybe use some of the techniques that you used to help them through their anxieties and fears.
You bet. Yeah. So some of the things that helped me was to do the opposite of what your fears are telling you. You know, go hide, go stay away. You're going to be embarrassed. I have a nice quote that came from a Toastmaster, a very seasoned Toastmaster. He's a professional speaker now. He said, Mike, it's not really the fear of speaking, it's the fear of embarrassment.
And absolutely.
Good point. So I tried all those years, my advice would be don't, for many years I tried to hide it the best I could from my wife, from my friends that I had this. And when I felt them coming on and the sweat and the anxiety and the shortness of breath and all those things that come with anxiety, the sweaty palms, I would try to make my escape and get out wherever I was, around the crowd or try to find an exit or a bathroom. Or so the more I gave into that, so my advice is to give yourself time, those of you that struggle with that, give yourself time to just take little tiny steps to stay in that environment. Don't stop giving into running away from the, you know, letting the fear take you over and then you feel like I got to run away. Because I think that's what people with claustrophobic or, you know, and I'm not belittling that some people need medication. I'm not saying that. Please take it. I had some good advice from my church rector years ago. He said, Mike, you don't need medication, but give it a try, you know, in your journey. So I did. And that would be my advice. Just quiet, you know, just slowly take those baby steps and don't give in to those fears. And if you're in a room with people and you start to get afraid like I was, then just take some deep breaths, regroup, and stay around the people. And it takes time. It does. It's not overnight.
Find someone maybe in that crowd that you can relate to, that you feel safe with. Yeah.
And my other advice would be just go ahead and admit the struggle, the problem that you're having. You know, I have some anxieties, and to my surprise, many people are very supportive. You know, I think our minds, and my mind would go back to those junior high days when you admitted something, you exposed yourself in some way of admitting that you were made fun of, you were teased, and I think we bring that mentality into our adulthood. We're so afraid of what people are going to say about us. So afraid
it's
to get
amazing.
Hurt, to go ahead and say, no, I'm just kind of working through these, just bear with me. And, you know, 99% of the adult world will support you and help you through that.
And that's a wonderful thing. I think you're absolutely right about that.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did your anxiety attack, so to speak, last? For months? For years?
I would say they were always there, but I had to battle against them from probably the early 90s. And they were there all the time. It just depends what the circumstance were. If I was in a room with a lot of people and it was starting to get warm, then I started feeling the anxiety. Am I going to break out in the sweat? Is somebody going to see me sweating? You know, if it was nice and cool and there was a breeze, then I had a lot of confidence. And I didn't have to fight against it. It's getting warm in here. And, I might have felt like a woman going through menopause or something. Here comes cold sweats. So I would say they lasted from the early 90s till I've gotten a better handle on it since joining Toastmasters. So they're there currently, but they're smaller. The mountain is more of a, instead of the anxieties being a mountain that I look at that are 14,000 feet tall, they're more like just a little stepping stone now.
Wow, that's terrific.
Still there, but yeah.
So what was the turning point in your improvement?
Turning point was some admission of to my wife. Finally, one day, I just broke out in tears, and I had this problem.
Aww.
We'd been married for, golly, already maybe 16 or 17 years, and I finally admitted
She hadn't figured this out?
How I protected myself was I would just close off and not want to talk and just not share my feelings, like a typical man, right? Just close up and, well, I don't want to put all of us men in the same box. But so she couldn't break that bubble. You know, she tried not to get angry, and then she just kind of backed off. So I finally, but it hurt our relationship because it wasn't as
absolutely
intimate, because I wasn't, you know, sharing how I felt. So me joining a men's group at the church, we went to another church for a while up in Brighton, and they had a Wednesday night men's group, and we all sat around at a table. We went through 3 years of workbooks and videos.
Wow.
And I learned how to be intimate and open my heart. It started like a small group, and we'd share, and I'd go on retreats once a year with them. So I learned to be vulnerable and open up and share my hurts and anxieties. And
yeah.
So that was a big part of the turning point.
Fantastic. So that was like a turning point for you. You learned to open up and
mm-hmm.
Be sincere and honest about
mm-hmm.
what you were going through. So who helped you along the way?
The biggest help was my wife's support and me realizing, she's okay. She's okay that I finally admitted it. You know, so afraid of her reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the men's group, the men in the group, those were good mentors in our men's small group.
Mm-hmm.
The Toastmasters at the time, very supportive in helping me progress with my confidence and getting confirmation from that. So I'd say those were the biggest mentors.
Cool. And, you know, we just encourage our listeners to reach out to those sort of people if they're having these problems, because
mm-hmm.
help is there. You just have to reach out for it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. What are you doing now to overcome these anxieties? I understand they're just like a little stepping stone now, but they're still there. So what are you doing now to overcome that?
A couple of things. Currently, with my new job, and I don't want to call it a job. It's a small business I'm trying to develop and grow. I have to be out a lot of doing a lot of networking and talking to people and giving
mm-hmm.
a 30-second elevator speech and go to the next person, do that 30-second elevator and learn to be more. So my prayer really has been to the Lord, help me be more relational as a Christian man and help me to open up even more and show that I love people, learn how to love people, because I can't sell anything, a stick of gum maybe, to anybody unless I learn to really open up in the sales world, you know, network. And so that practice now is helping me. And I don't want anybody to go out and say, well, I got to be a salesman now to help. I just, for the listeners out there, just if you have opportunities to be in community, if it's volunteering or joining a Bible study or community service, whatever, where you're out actually speaking more often, will help get out of the house and get away from the demon thinking, you know, the plague us all the time with thoughts and, you know, self-sabotage. So, the other turning point was learning to forgive myself. And I share that with the listeners out there too. Quote, go through that in your heart. It's not something you do in 10 minutes, but you take time and days, a month maybe, and you go through and let your prayer be, I forgive myself. I forgive others and that have hurt me or that I've allowed to hurt me over the years, and I forgive myself. As soon as I started to do that, our church, the Nupistock church that we go to, has a nice opportunity to do that every week, to go through that preparation, you know, forgiveness of sins, pronounced on us every week. And so I started to incorporate that practice a little more seriously now and prepare for that and include myself on that I'm forgiven and really believe that and having that belief and faith that every time I hear those, your sins are forgiven, I have a fresh start with myself and with others. So that was a really big turning point.
Wow, that's profound. Thank you for sharing that. And we've sort of covered this a little bit already, but what advice would you give to others suffering from anxiety?
Just to wrap it up in little bullet points to make it easy to remember, I'd say first find quiet time to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And if that's in a prayer to God or if that's writing it down and then burning the letter so it's visibly gone or whatever method they choose, is to really do that, to take time to forgive yourself. And then the second thing would be admit that you're working through those anxieties, that you have them still. I think that's true with any illness, or what I mean by that is, you know, addiction or something, is once there's admission, then we're open for help. And so forth. When we try to, the more we try to stuff it down in our body, and I think because I stuffed it down in my body all those years and tried to hide it, I had a heart attack when I was 32.
Oh.
I had another heart attack 6 weeks later, and I had melanoma. I had spots taken off that could have been cancerous on my skin, and I was like, where is all this coming from? All this disease. And so after all these years, I go, oh, okay, a lot of it, probably 90% of it, was me stuffing stuff inside of my body, in my heart, you know, just stuffing these fears, and nobody knows I'm hiding it, and it just blew up in my body somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd advise admission and then forgiving yourself. And then the third thing was to get out there and get in community and be happy with who you are, how God created you, and embrace that. Don't try to be like others, because you'll feel bad, and the anxieties will come back.
Sure.
And just get out there and realize that people are out there to help all of us and embrace all of us. Find a nice, safe community, if that's at the church or somewhere you volunteer or a Bible study or a small group or somewhere where you feel it's a safe environment to be.
Excellent. Very excellent. Normally, what I do at the end of an interview is make sure that our listeners have a way to get in touch with you. But yours is not an actual business, so is there some method of reaching you that you'd like to share, or should we just let them get in touch with you through the company you're working with now?
I would just say I'd be happy to give them my phone number, and they can text me or call me. That's pretty really. That's really easy. You have my phone all the time. So.
Okay, so why don't you give them your phone number?
Yep, my phone number, feel free to call or text me, is 303-917-9925.
Okay, just to reiterate, 303-917-9925, and this is Mr. Michael Friend. And he really is a friendly person.
I'm so surprised
that he's had these problems in his life, because I've known him for a long time, and I know that you have a little bit of a shy nature, but I never would have guessed you had all these problems. So you hide it very well. And since we are a medium here for helping other businesses, the company that you're working with now is a management development company, and you do that by giving training to managers. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I take care of for-profit businesses and nonprofit organizations, government agencies, and educational institutions like high schools and universities. So those are the four areas. Really, almost any organization, these courses can go in and help. And we discount them to get help to those industries that are on a tight budget. They're trying to save some money, so we have some really nice online classroom courses to help them continue training their people while keeping within their budgets, or maybe help them reduce their budgets a little bit.
Excellent. Is there a website they can go to?
It's TitonLearning.com. T-I-T-O-N, learning, one word, together, .com.
Okay. And that's P as in Paul, I as in Inkwell.
Illinois?
Yeah. There we go. T as in Tom, O, and N as in Nancy. Oprah, yes. Oprah Nancy Learning.
That's right.
I'm usually pretty good with that, but it just went out of my head this time.
That's right. Yeah, probably the easiest way to contact me for my business is through the phone. And the website is getting worked on. It should be up as we speak or tomorrow. They're having
Excellent.
You can find it on there. The listeners can find it, but it's just one page and there's not much information. So it's getting revamped this week. In fact, I'll be on the phone with the owners and the web designer here at 2 o'clock, and it should be rolling out hopefully tonight or tomorrow. I'll fix it up with my contact information on it.
Wonderful. Okay, well, this was very informative and encouraging for those that do have anxiety problems. Thank you so much for being vulnerable with us and sharing. And definitely, you know, anxiety is something that I think all business owners can relate to, and maybe not in the specific manner that it affected you, but certainly, you know, in business dealings and so forth. So this is really good methods that you've given us for coping with anxiety and trying to move forward beyond it. Thank you so much, Mike.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure being on today. Thank you.
Wonderful. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Lately, I've been thinking that clearly you are the perfect one for me. You treat me like I am heaven sent. Sometimes I get thinking too much about this life and when I'm gonna figure out my dreams.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for staying with us through the whole program. We actually have run a little over time because our last guest was so engaging, and I thought the topic was so important. We as business people do have our anxieties, and I think it does in some situations affect our effectiveness and our bottom line. So I thought it was very important to let Mike speak to us as long as I could. So I want to thank you for being with us today. Again, I'm Barb Sayers, CEO and co-founder of Sister to Sister Enterprises. We are a marketing and strategic consulting firm. I really encourage you to get in touch with us to help you establish a strategic marketing plan to get you to be top of mind in your ideal client, and to define your ideal client so you know who to target for your marketing. So I hope you've gained knowledge and insight from the show today. Really, come back often. We're here every other Thursday. And make sure to tell all your friends and clients about this us too. You can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And leave us a message at bsayers, S-A-Y-E-R-S, at sister, the number 2, sisterenterprises.com. We'll be back on September 15th, noon Mountain Time at BBS Radio. Show is called Biz Buzz, and we'll be talking with more business owners and successful entrepreneurs about their businesses. Specifically, we have Linda Brewer and Sharon Fraser. Remember, your success is our success. And I think I have like maybe 2 minutes left. So I want to let you know about a seminar that is going to be coming up around the end of October, first part of November. Please mark your calendars for that time frame. It's going to be locally in the Denver area, and it's going to be all sorts of topics for running a business. So if you're a startup or you've got a little bit of experience under your belt, this is going to be fantastic for you. Please keep listening. I'm going to give you more information next week. We're out of time today. Thanks again for being with us. Bye-bye for now.